This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning, a disgusting spring day, but Met fans are happy because their team, with a walk-off win yesterday, 12-2, taking two out of three from the Brewers, and the Yankees don't even play since Friday night because of the terrible weather in Detroit. We got some playoff hockey, some playoff basketball, Knicks head coaching search. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing well. Rangers head coaching search is now all of a sudden you're seeing Dave Quinn's name surface for that, and he's obviously the coach at Boston University. But anyway, good morning, Gio. And to all those Met fans who went to Citi Field yesterday,
oh,
I would say this, bravo, man. Bravo.
Seriously,
for
right?
Going to that game yesterday, because obviously watching the players is a miserable day. Who the hell wants to try to hit a 100-mile-an-hour baseball in that weather, right? And, you know, you could just see the way the players were out there. It was miserable. The umpires were miserable. The fans, I'm sure, were miserable. But the fans that went, bravo to you folks, man. Because the Mets keep it going. You know, they win another series, and yeah, okay, they lost, the Matt Harvey start. And Matt Harvey and Steven Matz are giving up home runs. You gotta limit all that kind of stuff. But I was kind of happy for Wilmer Flores because, you know, he is an adventurer at first base.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. You know, oh, just stick a guy at first base, stick Bruce at first base, do this one at first base. You know, when you watch Adrian Gonzalez, hey, healthy Adrian Gonzalez, play first base, he knows how to play first base.
Yeah, he's a first baseman.
And he's smooth, man. You know, and he's got all the angles down. He's got all the picks down. He's got all that stuff down. But, you know, Wilmer Flores, to his credit, is over there trying to play the position, and it's an adventure. I don't care what anybody says. It's just, and the ball always seems to find you when you're out of position. Yeah. Ask Giancarlo Stanton, right? And what did I say on Friday? They missed Hicks. They miss Hicks. Hicks is back in the lineup. Everybody's back where they're supposed to be.
Almost,
and
yeah.
Hicks has a great game on Friday night, and the Yankees win that game. So it just goes to show you that just saying put a guy somewhere, the ball is always going to find that guy, especially at first base, because you got to do a lot of stuff over there, and you don't want to take it for granted. That's why watching him hit the game-winning home run, then have his knucklehead teammates dump the Gatorade on him on a blustery, freezing cold
day. That's why they did it.
Probably going to wake up this morning with pneumonia or something.
I hope not.
I mean, the fact is that I was happy for him. He's a homegrown Met. We all know the story. So he comes away with the victory, and it was very, very satisfying for the Mets, especially after watching, like, and this is what was really interesting, because I like to listen to Mickey Callaway now after the games. And
it's appointment television for you, Mickey Callaway post-game news conference.
Well, especially when they're winning, because I want to hear what he has to say about his starting pitcher all the time. And yesterday he goes, man, I'll tell you what, Syndergaard was great. And I'm like, my son, why was he great? And then he had to explain why he was great. He was great because he was throwing a lot of strikes. Now, they were fouling a lot of balls off,
right,
which obviously runs up the pitch count on Syndergaard. And Syndergaard was good. He, when you really think about it, he only goes 5 1/3, but that's because of the amount of foul balls.
Well, and all the strikeouts, too. I mean, inherently, when you're striking guys out, you throw in more pitches because they're not putting balls in play earlier on in the count. He struck all those guys out, 11, a bunch in a row.
You can't ask to go out there and throw 150 pitches on a day like yesterday.
Yeah, and he's,
I guess, throw over 100, but it's interesting. I wish they could teach him, like, to be more of a pitcher. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's unbelievable. He's overpowering. He's got like an 89 to 91 mile an hour changeup, which is ridiculous. And that thing was moving all over the place yesterday. And these guys are just reaching out and hitting it, fouling it off and everything. And I just, It'd be nice for him to go out there and just throw nine pitches, get three outs, and let's go.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do. It's almost it's a catch-22 in a way because his stuff's so good that guys are fouling it off and he's striking guys out and the pitch count goes up. I don't even know if it's something that he can do other than pitching more to contact,
which is
a dangerous thing to do sometimes.
That's also a dangerous thing to do. But what I'm saying is, like, after the game was over, you're like, he only won 5 1/3. You look at it in a paper today.
But he was dominant, though.
No, I know he was, but I'm just saying, like, the mindset is you want these pitchers going deeper into games. And even Mickey said that last week. He goes, we want our guys going deeper into games. And then after the game, I wanted to hear what he had to say and how he was going to, I don't know, either spin this or whatever. But it wasn't that he was spinning anything. He was just telling you, look, he just threw a lot of pitches. A lot of pitches were strikes. A lot of pitch, you know, he goes deep in the, not deep in the counts, but he gets strikeouts. He's not getting, like, you know, comebackers or this or ground balls to shortstop. Thank God for that, by the way. At the end of the day, he just really had a good day. It's just that they got the bat on the ball a couple times to extend his pitch count. So the Mets come away with another series win. It was disappointing on Saturday, you know.
Yeah, it was just, especially with Harvey. I mean, he does not look like he's got stuff that he's going to be able to battle through with in tough situations.
That's why he's the number three starter.
Right.
You know, maybe, and who knows, you know, if he doesn't progress, I mean, I would think, especially with Vargas coming back, if they start looking at this and you start, you know, giving guys opportunities based on merit, and if Zach Wheeler gets a couple more starts, I mean, what do you do?
It's a tough call. I mean, you have to see worse from Harvey consistently. And at that point, I'm really not sure. I mean, that's going to be a very, very tough call for Mickey Callaway. But I do think if you're winning 2 out of 3, you're sweeping series, you're 12-2, it's something you can slough off a little bit when you got DeGrom and Syndergaard and everybody else in the staff. Mats has been okay, but the doing what they're doing. So that'll be an interesting thing to see how it plays out. But yeah, I mean, he's been really one negative in a season full of an abundance of positives now. He really has been. So, you know, we'll focus on that. I'm sure the Mets will try to figure it out, but I wouldn't be surprised if in his next start he went out there and did figure it out, because his velocity sure is down from the heyday of Matt Harvey, but it's not terrible. I mean, he's still getting there 93, 94. It's just that there's a lot of hittable pitches. His location is just not great. It's not pinpoint. He's leaving a lot of balls over the plate, and you see what happens when
that. I'll tell you, the thing about him is that, you know, his team is winning, and he's not. You know what I mean? And he's got to get it right, man. He's just got to get it right. And this is the great time to get it right, because the baseball team itself is playing good. Now, they have issues, and their biggest issue right now is going to be behind the plate. They've got to do something.
Happened right after we went off the air. It's unbelievable. It's like this thing. So you wait to 10 o'clock on Friday, something's going to happen every single week, as we find out that Plawecki does have the broken hand after getting hit in the hand with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, which is shocking to me that it wasn't broken the first time around, and who knew what the hell was going on with x-rays negative. So you got Jose Lobaton, you got Tomas Nito, and I know that they've made some calls and they've talked to some people and are trying to figure this out. But this actually, this could lead them, because they're now forced into doing something. They really are. Unless Lobaton and Nito end up being some sort of unbelievable revelation and Plawecki comes back sooner than they want.
I'll tell you who the revelation is. The revelation is Brandon Nimmo. That's who the revelation is.
But back to the catchers for a second. And Nimmo was great. Unbelievable yesterday in that home run and that win. Just the power that he had. Awesome. But they're forced into doing something.
Yes, they are. Yep, sure.
So we wanted them to address the catchers desperately in the offseason. You got to upgrade here. And they wouldn't do it for whatever reason, trusting those guys. Now they're forced into doing something. So this might actually be a blessing in disguise for the Mets, where they are forced into upgrading the catching position that we so desperately wanted them to do in the offseason. So we'll see how they handle it. But they're definitely gonna have to address it. I don't think you can continue with Lobaton and Nito in there. It was bad enough with Darnold and Plawecki, so now you got those two guys. But yeah, Brandon Nimmo, man, just awesome. And he's smiling all the time. I know I got on him for pointing to the sky after he got hit by a pitch, but whatever. I mean, the guy is just like, he's instant great energy,
that's
instant
exactly
offense.
Right.
He just adds to this environment that Noah Syndergaard was talking about after the game, about how special it is in that clubhouse right now. And I really want to believe it. I do. I really want to believe that this is going to be a great season, that this is going to be something special, that this team is different. I really want to believe it. And so far, they've given me no reason to think otherwise. At 12-2, and bury the Nationals now. Why not, right? I mean, you got an opportunity. Well, you got an opportunity. Let's see it.
I don't know what the weather is for later on today. Right now, it's just atrocious outside. I don't know if it'll clear up or not, but you have the Yankees now back at home against the Marlins. They haven't played, it seems like, in a week, right? And then, of course, you have the Nationals coming to town. They're still beat up. They're all banged up and everything else. And you got Jacob DeGrom on the mound tonight against Jeremy Hellickson. So that's a pretty good matchup against. And then on the other side, you got Caleb Smith versus Luis Severino at home, depending on if these games are going to be played. So today's the Boston Marathon up in Boston, by the way. Yeah. So it's Patriots Day up there. The Boston Red Sox, who basically beat the Orioles again yesterday, their game has been postponed for today.
Yep.
So they're going to run the marathon, but the baseball game has been postponed, and they're absolutely on fire, man. They're 12-2 right now, 13-2 actually, and they've won four in a row, and they're just murdering people, man.
Yeah, I mean that's a big issue, and it's much better to be that team that's hot early and doesn't have to worry about it. And the only concern is how can they sustain it, and that's what the Red Sox and Mets are doing, and teams like the Yankees and Nationals that were supposed to be right up there scuffling a little bit early. So yeah, I mean the Red Sox look like a team that's not going away anytime soon. I mean, I still, those concerns that I had about them in the offseason and just adding JD Martinez and thinking that he was going to be great and this staff could be really, really hot and cold. I mean, those things have dissipated now. But I still think that the Yankees' talent is just right there. And also, you know, you win the game on Friday. But Stanton's awful again, but like I've said many, many times, I really don't think that he's going to be bad for an entire season. But Dellin Betances, I mean, God. I mean, and this is now getting to the point. I remember, you were defending him rightfully so for that second inning performance because he shouldn't have been out there.
Shouldn't have been out there, right. Aaron Boone should have sat him down.
Right. This is a different story, what happened on Friday night, though. He goes in there with a 5-run cushion, and the next thing you know, you're biting your fingernails down to see if they're going to be able to win this game at 8-6. And he's getting battered. Boom. Home run right off the bat. He's just not the same pitcher. He is not even... I don't know what happened. I don't know if he can get it back. We've seen guys like this go from really good to really bad in the bullpen. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I don't know if there's a nagging injury. But the guy's just, he's not the all-star Dellin Betances that we, he's not even close. I mean, he's gotten to that point where you had supreme confidence in him to the point where he is the number one guy that you don't want to see in the game. It's gotten that bad.
He probably needs Mickey Callaway and Dave Island right now.
Yeah.
And the Yankees could use one of the starting pitchers from the Mets. That's basically what is probably going on right there. But, you know, when I was talking about Aaron Hicks playing center field, it's basically now you have, you know, Stanton's at your DH where he's supposed to be, Gardner's in left field, and, of course, Stanton's in right field. That's the way the outfield is supposed to look, right?
Yep.
And that's the way the Yankees are supposed to look. And with Hicks in the lineup, and Hicks obviously brought instant energy inside the park, home run and everything else. So that's the way this team is supposed to be built.
Well, in the outfield. Now, the infield, you're still dealing with no Greg Bird at first base and no Brandon
Drury
at third
base. But
the reason
I say that is because even though you're asking Giancarlo Stanton to play left field at times, and, you know, he's played it okay until he overruns the ball, you know, up in Fenway. I mean, he hasn't been a disaster by any stretch of the imagination, but that's the way the team's supposed to look. So their outfield is whole with the exception of Ellsbury, but, you know, this is what you want. Those are the four guys you want in the lineup, and that's where you want them to be in your lineup. So that's the good news. And so, you know, they're also playing the crappy Tigers. Now tonight they're playing the crappy Marlins, if in fact the game's going to be played. And this is how you get healthy. This is how the Red Sox got off to a good start. They played bad teams, the Marlins and the Rays, back-to-back, and the next thing you know, they're sitting here at 13-2.
Yeah.
So you got to beat these bad teams, just like, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers are a good club, by
the
way.
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. I mean,
and they're missing a couple guys.
Yeah, I mean, they made a lot of additions, Yelich being one of them. They made a lot of additions in the offseason. They were a pretty good team last year, and they're going for it this year. That's what they look at. They look at a division that's got, you know, Chicago far and away the best team in that division, even though the Pirates have this unbelievable start, but nobody really expects them to sustain that. And they said, listen, we can be easily a wild card team here. Why not? And they went for it. So the Mets taking 2 out of 3 in that series was really impressive. You know that 20% of the games since the start of the season have been postponed due to rain?
Crappy weather. 20%. Yeah, I heard everybody, you know, on the fan calling in this weekend, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? I mean, this is an abnormal spring. I mean, most of the time, you know, early April, you're going to get, you know, maybe a bad weekend here or there, but this has been insane, especially in the Midwest and the East Coast here. But there is a way, if you really want to curtail a lot of this stuff and still play the games that you're playing, there is a way, I believe, that you can ensure pretty much everybody get off to, let's say, a 12-game start where you're not impacted, hopefully, by weather. There is a way to do that.
Yeah, just so you'd have a lot of these Northeast teams on 12-game road trips.
No, you don't even have to do that. You don't even have to do that. You could start your season in spring training. You could play the games, real games, in spring training. I know it's not at Yankee Stadium. I know it's not at Citi Field. But wouldn't you much rather have a packed Port St. Lucie Stadium as opposed to what you had yesterday at Citi Field? I mean, there's a way to do that. And you could, you obviously have the Cactus League out there. They could play out there. Nobody plays in their home stadium. They play in their home minor league stadiums. They're spring training stadiums.
How much money are they losing, though?
I don't know. I don't know if they would lose anything. You just raise the prices for those tickets in those cities. And this way, everybody plays the first 2 weeks as an extension of spring training. Hopefully the weather's nice, and away you go. And then by the time you get back here, it would be right about now. But look at today's day. Look at today's weather.
I know. Right? It's just, and it's not going to stop the entire day, so it doesn't look like.
That is what you call an extreme, that would be an extreme condition to create, hopefully, you know, not all these postponements and everything else. Now, the reason that they started early, obviously, is because they built in more off days for the players. That's why they started a few, a week earlier. But at the end of the day, all those off days are going by the wayside.
Right, of course. And then you got to sit here and we got a full doubleheader getting iced out yesterday. And the scene out there, Comerica, with ice hanging off of the statues, is just disgusting in the middle of April.
Now, I don't know if you saw this, but there were four things that happened this weekend that I'm very happy about.
Okay.
All right. Number one. LeBron James's lost, and they not only did they lose, they got hammered at home.
Right.
And he walked off the court before the game was over.
Yeah, I mean, that was one game in the series against Indiana.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is okay. Awesome. He's going to send Tyronn Lue to the freaking, I don't know where Tyronn Lue is going to go, but he's exhausted
the
mentally
Valley
already.
And dead Cavs
one
coaches.
Game, right? So,
yeah.
Number two. The Washington Capitals have lost two home games in their series to John Tortorella, who's playing Ranger hockey.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about hockey, Boomer.
Yeah, yeah, and by the way, every time you turn on a game, there's an ex-Ranger there right in the middle of everything. And I was thinking last night, if you put all the ex-Rangers on one team, could they win a cup? And the answer would be no, they can't, because they couldn't do it here. The other thing was Greg Popovich in his post-game press conference after they lost their first game to the Golden State Warriors. Two things about that. Number one, way to piss off one of your biggest sponsors in Gatorade. Gatorade basically bought the G League because it's the Gatorade League now, and they have a huge sponsorship with the NBA, and that guy gets up there acting like a complete jackass talking about whether or not I should be able to talk about whatever. I guess there was a cup up there or a squirt bottle with Gatorade on it and everything. Oh, there's too much sugar in this. I'm sure that the league office and Gatorade just absolutely loved him opening his big fat trap and acting like he's so condescending to everybody and great. And then he takes a shot at Kawhi Leonard and his people. He didn't call him his posse.
Right.
He called them his people. And, you know, that condescending, righteous,
is it
you
Kawhi
know, whatever.
And his group, I think,
guess
is what he called
it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Good. Goodbye. You know, because you got a guy that's not even – doesn't even want to play for you anymore.
Right. No, he doesn't. You know where he's been training, right?
You know what? And it's just so pompous. It's just –
It's the act now. And people – the media, they just laugh at it.
But you know what?
That's the problem. It's like nobody stands up and says, will you act like a normal human being?
How about acting like a professional? How about, like, you make $10 million a year because of – companies like Gatorade, and because of all the fans coming to buy your tickets, and you know the fact that you had some of the best players in all of basketball when you were coaching and you won those championships with them, you know, how about just respecting the process?
Right,
I would say the same thing about Bill Belichick at times too, because he could be a real jerk
of course,
up there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but the difference between I don't know what it is that Belichick doesn't talk as much as Popovich does, and when he does, it's just like he just talks and talks, and it's overwhelmingly condescending.
You know where Kawhi is training, by the way, and rehabbing for the
here
last
in New York?
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
Right.
That's why we
I would
that
find
here.
Him. If I was James Dolan, I was Perry or Mills, I would find wherever he was, and every day I'd show up at
right.
that gym.
And the other
and
thing
I'd,
is,
I'd rub out his quad.
And the other thing is, I'd never get any. There's a couple things in my life that I get a lot of great joy out of. But one of the great joys, I get it, is when the Flyers lose at home.
Yeah, and you had that, yeah, in an embarrassing fashion as the Penguins stomped all over.
So anyway, so good weekend all the way around. Mets win yesterday. Yankees don't play, unfortunately. And I got four things that I loved.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.